I was contacted recently by, well, a friend, but a former student. He's a pastor of a church in Western Pennsylvania. He has his doctorate. I was able to work with him with that particular degree. And he wrote an email saying he listens to Sling Stones and wondered if I would do a few podcasts on the topic of spiritual warfare. Now, we've touched that a little bit in the past, but sure, I think it would be good for us to have that conversation. You know, there's a lot of things we need to be aware of. Certainly, we need to be aware that we live with God always present in our midst. We need to be aware that every moment holds a treasure. We need to be aware of who we are in Christ and how much God loves us. But the other thing we need to be aware of, maybe best stated by Greg Boyd, is that every time we awake in the morning and put our feet on the ground, we are entering a war zone. That in fact, there are other players on the field, not simply angels and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Lord being with us, but also that there are evil spirits that are in our midst, and they are there to deceive and to destroy and to steal. And it would be important for us to recognize that. You know, when I grew up, a lot of the world in which I lived, especially the television world, made a very clear delineation between good and evil. I used to love to watch cowboys, and anybody that wore the black hat, those were the bad guys, and whoever wore the white hat, those were the good guys. I wish the world were like that, but it is not. It is not so easy to distinguish the lines between good and evil. It's just simply not that clear. And so it does become important that we're willing to talk about evil supernaturalism. There's an author I like. His name is Richard Beck, and he wrote a book called Reviving Old Scratch. He's written a few other books that I happen to like. But in Reviving Old Scratch, he talks about spiritual warfare, and he makes this statement. Our refusal to talk about demons causes us to demonize other human beings. Isn't that good? That when we don't talk about the presence of evil, we think that everything that's going on in this world is simply motivated by people, good and bad people, but that's not true. And again, to comment about Greg Boyd, he goes on to say that if it has flesh and blood, it's really not our enemy. That's really good information. That's the kind of thing we need to think about. That's the kind of thing we need to talk about when we begin to go down this road of evil supernaturalism. Now, I want you to know, we've touched on this a little bit, but we're going to go a little bit deeper here in response to my friend Daryl and his request that we live in a very tough time. The darkness seems to be running amok, and you can get the impression that sometimes darkness is more powerful than light, but it is not. God is still in control, but he wants us to be aware that there is an enemy, and that he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And it would be good for us to recognize that and learn how to begin to approach dealing with this whole issue of evil supernaturalism in the world. Now, as soon as we go into this conversation, our minds should go somewhat immediately to Ephesians chapter 6, where Jesus talks about this, and he says to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It's Paul, actually, that says those words, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then he goes on to teach several things, and I want to break those down for our discussion here today. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul's basically saying that the evil one is out to dupe us, that he has schemes, that he wants us to, if you will, be hoodwinked so we don't see the whole picture, and that in some ways he's doing what could be called predatorial grooming, trying to entice us away from the Lord in order that he can then, well, as the scripture says, blind us to the reality of evil supernaturalism. Now, if you look at verse 12, it's basically saying there are layers of opposition that occur. And he talks about the fact that it's not flesh and blood. There's principalities and there's powers and there's dark forces. And that these forces are aligned against God's people and against God's kingdom. And that as a result, and then he begins in verse 13 saying, we need to put on the full armor of God so that we are not vulnerable. It's almost as if he's saying, allow no place of vulnerability in our lives. And then he goes on to list all the different aspects of that, of putting on the belt of truth, which means that God always operates in the truth. There is no deceptive way with God. Put on the righteousness of Christ, that God allows us, even in our sinfulness, to be wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness as a way of signifying that we are aligned with God. We belong to Him. It then goes on to saying that shod your feet with peace so that we know that we are at peace with God, and lift up faith and lift up the helmet of salvation and lift up the sword of the Lord, and that all of these things are part of the armor of God that we are to recognize as we move forward. And that we shouldn't be insecure about all this. We need to be secure before God, at the same time as recognizing this battle is real. You know, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but I did read a book years and years ago by Ronald Higgins called The Seventh Enemy. And I think I may have alluded to this, but it's good for us to remind ourselves of this as we begin to talk about evil supernaturalism for a few times. Higgins wrote a book called The Seventh Enemy, and he talks about overpopulation and massive famine and the shortage of non-renewable resources, the destruction of our environment, nuclear threat, technology out of control. He talks about all of those as threatening human existence, but then he talks about the seventh enemy, and really what he's meaning there is that human beings are vulnerable to being used by the evil one, and that we live with blinders on to the fact that behind the first six enemies to human existence, there is a seventh enemy. And that it's important for us to be aware of that. You know, there's a passage of scripture that you might want to go to in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. And Paul basically says that God opens doors for us to have ministry. And that's what's happened to us at Healing Care. Great doors have opened, places that we couldn't imagine. I mentioned recently, I've just recently come back from Omaha, Nebraska, where I spoke to over 1,000 people. I was out in Colorado doing a seminar on becoming people with a presence. I leave next week for Canada to do a seminar with people there on awakening to our identity in Christ. God has opened up all of these doors. But that passage of scripture then goes on to say that many will rise up to oppose us. That to the degree to which we are experiencing open doors can also be the degree to which we begin to experience opposition. And often the opposition comes through common everyday people. But behind that, Paul is saying the evil one is at work. He takes the places of vulnerabilities in people's lives, and then he raises opposition to what God is doing. One of my own mentors, David Watson, a man I took courses from years and years ago, said that where God is at work, the evil one is equally active. He's not equally powerful, of course, but he is equally active. And he's there to do what? To steal, to kill, to destroy, to dupe, to hoodwink, to sucker us in order that the message of the kingdom can be robbed. And you do remember that even in the Lord's parable of seeds and sower, that the seed is the message of the kingdom, and often the birds come and steal the seed before it can ever take root. And Jesus says those birds, they're a representation of the evil one, and that we need to keep our eyes open because to some degree, this is war. Have you ever thought about the life of Jesus? I mean, Jesus experienced opposition. I mean, just go down the list. Herod certainly opposed him. People in his own hometown took offense to him. His family and friends at one point thought he was crazy. Some of his closest followers questioned Jesus, and one of them even betrayed him. And then, of course, the religious leaders of the time, the very people he should have been in harmony with, they began to oppose Jesus. And there's some lessons here. Part of the lesson is that the evil one will use anyone and anything to keep us off course in our lives. And for those of you that are out there and you're engaged in Christian ministry and you're doing some things for the Lord to move forward, this idea that there is war and there is opposition is something you already experienced and you're already aware that occurs in your life. The other thing, though, that we see in the life of Jesus is that he sees behind the people and the opposition to the darkness that is present, that there's a darkness that's raised up. And the purpose of that darkness is to push us back away from what God wants to be doing in our lives. And so, Daryl, my friend, others, there really is an enemy, and that enemy does come against God's people, and his purpose is to steal, to destroy, and to deceive. Now, right off the bat, one of the first things I need to say is go back and listen to whatever I've said in the past about identity security, because you got to know who you are in Christ. Because if you know who you are in Christ, you then know the resources that are at your disposal in order to stand against the evil one. Make sure you stay connected to other Christians, and make sure you stay focused on whatever it is that God's calling you to do. In this passage in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, be on your guard, recognize. Keep your head looking to and fro for the strategies of the evil one. Be on your guard. Remember what Peter said in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11, that the evil one prowls around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's the cosmic predator. And it's important to us to recognize that that's happening in our lives, and that we need to, again from this passage of Scripture, be humble, be alert, be sober, resist. This is serious business. I know this. The moment we believe that we are not vulnerable is the moment when we are most vulnerable. And this passage of Scripture goes on to say that we need to stay firm in the faith. Firm in the faith, which is similar to Jesus saying, be strong in the Lord. Know who you are in Christ. Know the power of Christ in your life. Know what Christ has done for you. Be firm in your faith. He then goes on and says to be strong and courageous. And being strong and courageous in the battle, I think it means recognizing that you know that you're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, that you have authority because of Jesus, that as you go forward to announce the message of the kingdom, you go in the authority of Christ. And then he says, do everything in love. Love is the greatest power against the strategies of the evil one. And so I think it's important for us today in this brief but critical discussion about evil supernaturalism is to remember we have enemies. There are spiritual forces. They have schemes. There are layers of opposition. And that we want our eyes opened so that we are not deceived as we move forward to do the bidding of the Lord. Well, we're going to talk more about this. This is only a beginning. Now, don't forget, God's face shines on you, and you're his child, and he cares for you.